Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
I'm Nicole Brown, the Public Information Officer for the Farmington Police Department, and with me as always is the wonderful Chief Steve Heavy.
Well, I'm not quite as upbeat as you seem today, but yes, it's another week of the Cop Shop, and we've got an important guest with us today, and we're going to talk about some things that we've been doing as a department and some stuff we've got going on that we could use the public's help on.
Yeah, definitely. I must be crazy because I invited my former boss and my boss, and yes, I get to sit in the middle.
I think we both yearn for the day when we can say both your former bosses are here. We'll see.
I think that I'm a great employee.
Yes.
But without further ado, we have Mr. Dave Ripley with us from San Juan County Communications Authority.
Good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great.
How are things going over at the dispatch center?
Hanging in there just like everyone else.
Yeah. You guys have an important event coming up that we wanted to talk to the public about. We're funding for the dispatch center with all the high-tech equipment and the employees that it takes to run the center is, you know, like everything else, funding is tough. And you're approaching the public with an idea to try and improve that. And why don't you go ahead and lay out what you're hoping for.
Sure. Well, our primary funding stream is a gross receipts tax that is countywide and on eligible purchases. And it has, for the most part, funded 911 and the EMS service, the ambulance service out of the hospital, for the past 17 plus years. It went into effect in 2003, and there was a sunset in 2013. The public voted to make it permanent, and it's 3/16%, so a very, very small amount. And the problem is that since probably 2011, 2012 in particular, revenue streams have dropped. We've lost population. And but the costs don't drop. You know, everything continues to increase. A lot of things we have no control over. We're a very technology centric industry, and that technology, we're kind of at the mercy of the industry. And so we do get help from the state of New Mexico through the E911 fund, but the bulk of our costs are paid for through the 911 tax. And, you know, in the past 10 years, even though costs have risen for us, our actual expenditures have not increased in 10 years. And we've done that by figuring out what our priorities are and trying to maintain the levels of service that we provide to the community. And but we've reached the limit of that. And we've been digging into reserves for several years, and we're almost out of reserves. And we've come to a point where we need to come to the public and ask them to approve another 1/16%, which works out to about a penny for every $20 spent. So it's a very, very small amount. It would get us stable, at least for the foreseeable future, and allow us to continue to provide the level of services that we've been able to provide up to this point. If the, you know, I'm not here to encourage people either way, just to state that there's a need that we see, and we're going to the public and allowing the public to make that decision about whether or not they see value in that. And So we're hoping that the public will come out on November 2nd and vote whatever makes sense to them, and we'll deal with the consequences, whatever they may be. But I can say that hopefully the public does see value in what we provide. If the vote is no overall, if it doesn't pass, we're going to have to take some serious set aside some time to take some serious looks at what we might be able to cut, and it will be levels of service. You know, we don't want to do that because caring for our community is our highest priority. Caring for our responders is our high priority. And cutting services, I just don't know where we would do it without having a serious impact on everyone.
So the communication center doesn't represent any one entity. It has represents all the fire and police services throughout the county. So Farmington PD, it's a joint center. Farmington PD is on the same dispatch center as Bloomfield, Aztec, and the Sheriff's Office, but then also the Farmington Fire and San Juan County Fire and Bloomfield Fire are also dispatched out of the fires, out of the dispatch center. So this is really a joint venture that we've been on for the last 17, 18 years. And that's why it'll be a countywide vote, but it affects all citizens in all the different communities.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the three cities, the county, fire and police are our primary agencies, but we also provide limited services to the local FBI and U.S. Marshals, Navajo Lake State Parks, Chaco Canyon law enforcement, BLM law enforcement. Basically anything in San Juan County not on the reservation is something that we have a hand in, and we're really proud of that. We're seen around the state and really around the nation as a premier 911 dispatch center for consolidated 911 dispatch center, and so we do provide a lot of services, and our people are very, very highly trained.
And the funding, like you said, it also goes to EMS services here in the San Juan County area, out of the hospital. But it also, another addition to that over the last few years has been the helicopter that flies folks down to Albuquerque or over to Cortez sometimes, or Durango, if they need services, medical services, immediately outside of what our ability is here in the county.
The AirCare has gotten a little bit of money out of that fund, but because they're completely private, they don't get nearly as much. The ambulance service is a private-public partnership, and they do get a smaller amount generally than the 911 dispatch center receives. And it's really helpful in that if you need to take a ride in an ambulance locally, your cost is going to be a lot lower than it is in most other areas because of this fund. So, you know, on ambulance, I was just talking with Eric Christensen, the director of the ambulance service, earlier this week, and he was telling me that the cost of an ambulance has risen from $210,000 to about $250,000 just in the past year. So again, we have all these increasing costs, and we need to figure out how we're going to pay for it. And it's either we get a little bit more money from the public, or we have to reduce services, and that could be, you know, extended response times. It could be less training. Could be a lot of different things, none of which are beneficial.
Mm-hmm. And Nicole, you were there for how many years?
I was there for 13, a little over 13 years.
So you got to see the level of training, and
yes,
and you then also were a trainer that kind of went around, at least within the state, but I think some regionally too. So you had a chance to see other dispatch operations.
Yeah, I did. I had the opportunity to see other dispatch centers. And then also, you know, I feel like our local dispatch center is, like Dave said, it's one of the best in the state, region, and nation. So to the level of care that our community receives from our dispatchers is excellent. And we kind of are like a trend-setting center, and if we want to continue to receive that level of care, you know, the dispatchers have to have that training. They have to have the, you know, the technology available to them to continue to, you know, meet that level of service. And like Dave said, it costs money. It's expensive. Technology is expensive, but the people sitting in the chairs are expensive too. You know, like it takes a special kind of person to work that job, and they require a lot of training, in order to be the professionals that they are, because they truly are amazing at what they do.
So we'll kind of go down that, but then we'll backtrack up to the technology. But as far as the people go, you know, they're the first person that any citizen calling for help from the police or fire talks to. And so what they have to be prepared for, and that goes to the training mm-hmm. quotient, is, you know, you're in life and death circumstances in some cases. Sometimes you're giving, medical advice. Sometimes you're trying to calm somebody down in the middle of a physical crisis where they're physically threatened while you're trying mm-hmm. to get police services. And you don't just grab people off the street and throw them behind the phone and it's hi, how are you?
Yeah.
We're here to talk about your warrant.
It is not that simple. At all. Yeah. And because of the level of multitasking and staying calm in stressful situations and being clear-headed in stressful situations, like I mentioned, it takes someone who's, you know, kind of a special kind of person. Not everyone can do the job. Just like not everyone can be a police officer or a firefighter. You have to have that drive to be a helper in the first place, and then you have to be quick. You have to be, you know, someone who can think on their feet and who can keep a level head. And so you have to kind of naturally have those talents. I think that Dave and the center do a really good job of finding those people, weeding through those people and all the applicants that they get. And then you got to train them. You got to teach them the skills.
Yep.
And that takes up to a year.
Yeah, it's about 1,000 hours of formal classroom training. It takes 8 to 10 months, and a lot of it is on the job, and more of it now because we're shorthanded and need more bodies. But it's getting more and more difficult. When I started in this business in 1984, it took about 2 weeks to train, and now it's 8 to 10 months. It's just the technology is overwhelming.
So, you know, so to go along that a little bit, technology really has changed. I was in charge of our dispatch center up in Anchorage. Of course, we thought we were the best in the nation, but, you know, now I haven't been in charge. So
yeah, I mean, probably no idea.
Yeah, probably have.
How amazing.
Just go with that. But I know that we had to go through, we went through a CAD upgrade, which is your computer-aided dispatch upgrade, and we went through bringing in Phase 3 cell phone technology so that when you call the dispatch center and you're looking for help and you're lost or you're not in a position to really even say what's going on or where you are, we can find you. And that technology, while amazing and does give the dispatchers and the police an opportunity to at least have an area where you are off of your cell phone, that technology costs money.
And that's something I don't think a lot of people understand, that 911 doesn't know exactly where you are. And that is kind of on the cell phone companies, that they have to, you know, upgrade that data, and which I think they're doing.
It is. It's the FCC that's in control of it, and they've been fairly gentle with the telephone companies in what they require of them. Currently, if you call with a cell phone, the requirement is that 90% of the calls have to be accurate location-wise within 150 meters. Which is still pretty gentle on the telephone companies as far as I'm concerned, because generally in any other regard when you're using a smartphone, it knows where you are within a foot or two. Mm-hmm. So we're still not demanding as much as could happen, but it all takes money. And, you know, we are a little bit better than a lot of 911 dispatch centers in New Mexico and around the country because of software that we buy that helps us bring in more accurate information. We're able to tap into smartphone GIS location information to supplement that phase of wireless information that comes in. So we have a backup set of data that provides location accuracy. But I was just, I'm working on reporting back to one of the providers. They're seeing a lot of people now using laptops and other devices like that to call 911, and there's no location information with that, and mm-hmm. we're trying to figure out how we're going to manage that.
And so that's just some of the things that, I think we take for granted in our society, Certainly, some of the social media giants don't help us with that. You know, Facebook seems to know exactly where I am, and what I'm buying, and so
what you're thinking about buying.
Right. And so I think there's a sense that that we know where you are the second you pick up that phone, and the reality is that isn't the case, and it takes a lot of money and software in order for us to find you. And when you're having a heart attack, or someone you love is having a heart attack, or you're in a car crash and you're not really sure where you're at, you know, the ability for police to figure out where you are and medical service to figure out where you are and get help to you right away, you know, all of a sudden that 1/16th of a percent doesn't seem that much. But it does cost money to do it, both the employees and the technology.
Mm-hmm. No, it's essential for sure. And I think that our community, you know, unless you have had to call 911 outside of our community, you maybe don't realize the level of service that you receive here in San Juan County. And I think that Dave and Crystal and Tandra, who was the ops manager before Crystal, have done a really good job of, you know, making sure, because we are a little isolated up here in the state, making sure that we were on kind of the cutting edge of that stuff so that our community was well taken care of. Yeah, this is an important vote. Go out and vote. Whatever way you think, we're not going to try and sway you.
Very subtle.
Very.
Yes, we're not going to try, but yet we're going to have a show that's devoted to explaining this.
We're just explaining what that money would go to and what exactly the services that you receive and you would be provided.
And it's not the only thing that's up for election. I think we've got mm-hmm. school board votes and judgeships, and here in Farmington at least 2 city councilor slots are up. So this is a part of the change that Farmington's gone through at the behest, I guess, of the state, if not the insistence, that we've moved our elections now into the fall. As you know, most of our elections have been traditionally through the spring when it's for local elections, but now they've all been moved to the fall. And so November 2nd is a big day, and that's one of the things that Dave's here to talk about. And another one is, I think, the ongoing issue for everyone in public safety, no matter what branch of it you're in, and that's recruiting and retention and getting dispatchers in. So I think we'd like to chat with you a little bit about what you're looking for in a dispatcher. You know, if I was somebody who was considering doing it, what are your expectations as I walk into your door?
Well, my expectations are pretty hard to meet because when the public calls 911, I want the highest quality professional possible sitting there. And so we need people that are able to think on their feet. Critical thinking skills are extremely important. Beyond that, the ability to manage technology, the ability to multitask, and also emotional health. You know, if you think about it, we're handling about 1,000 calls a day in this dispatch center. And those calls are handled by 5 to 7 people on at any given time. So that's a lot of activity that our people are dealing with. So the average citizen may experience 1 or 2 major events in their entire life, something really, really traumatic, but these people are dealing with several per day. And so if they don't have the ability to keep themselves squared away emotionally, they're not gonna last very long. And we see that. They go through a psychiatric assessment in the hiring process, but you never know for sure until they're sitting there. And you know, you deal with a lot of really horrible tragedies. People don't call us to tell us what a great day they're having. They're calling because they're experiencing the worst day of their life in many regards. And so they've invited us to participate in that. And it's very, very difficult to do that day in and day out over the course of 25 or 30 years and not have issues from that. We're lucky, you know, our attrition rate is less than 10%, which is less than half of what it is nationwide in 911 dispatch centers. But we do have a hard time finding people. Because it's shift work, it's weekends and holidays, it's the nature of the job, the level of responsibility that they have, and things like that. You know, we require a lot of our people, but we've created a good, strong culture there where they don't shy away from it. They're very proud of the job that they do, and it's really a very tight-knit family kind of environment for people.
I mean, we'll do a pitch for the PD, as of course we're hiring, and have our own needs. But the dispatch center is an effort, or is a place that if you want to make a contribution to your community, and you, yet you don't want to be part of police, and there's all sorts of reasons, some of which you mentioned, shift work and weekends and erratic schedules. You know, this is an opportunity to do it in a safer environment, but absolutely critically important. You're talking to more citizens than my officers talk to, mm-hmm. you know, because we don't dispatch an officer to every single call you guys get. You're getting them from around the county, and sometimes you're clearing those calls up before we even get there. So, you know, the calls and the importance of that job, you really can't be overstated. It's an important role for our community, and so people that want to make a contribution but don't want to, you know, sit around firehouses and eat pizza all the time, or be out on the front lines like the police, you know, then here's an opportunity to do that.
I would always say that if you feel drawn to public safety, but you maybe don't want to touch it. Like, there's a lot of things that, like, medics and firefighters and police respond to that you're like, I don't know if I could handle that, if I could stomach seeing those things and having to do those things. So dispatch is exactly where you need to be, yes. because you are 100% contributing to helping people, and you're really active in your community. But you don't necessarily have to smell all the smells and see all the sights.
And some of the physical risk, you know, isn't there. But
yeah, that is
but
true.
But yeah, it's still critical. You know, we've got to have good people that are answering the phones. I know I've called 911 in my life, and the service from that dispatcher matters. You know, it matters to how the whole call goes, if you're handled safely and if you get help quickly. So, you know, I am a big proponent of dispatch and of dispatchers. I think they are proud of the role that they play in our public safety pipeline of getting you help when you need it. And so anybody that is out there that's, you know, maybe not ready to put in for Farmington PD, and I honestly don't know why that would be, but but if you weren't ready to put in for Farmington PD, but you still wanted to be a contributor to San Juan County and our safe communities, you know, I think that dispatch is absolutely something that you should be looking and talking to. And Dave, you guys have a recruiting number, or how do they get hold of you if they want to, they listen to this mesmerizing presentation and they want to be a dispatcher?
Well, they can go to our website, which is sjcounty911.net, and they can watch the county website for employment opportunities, or they can call us at 334-6000, and we'll put them in touch with someone at the center to talk to them and give them whatever information we can.
Very good. And how many dispatchers do you have in general right now?
Our full complement is 48. 40 of those are dispatchers and call takers.
Okay. Well, very good. So there you have it. Now we're going to give you a little pitch because we're coming right up on the last deadline for you to be able to put in for the police department. We run a January academy. That academy is here in San Juan County. So you stay at home. You go to class for the first 5 to 5.5 months. It's a classroom setting. We teach you everything about it. And then 3.5 months out in the field doing field training, again, right here in San Juan County. You never leave here. You never go off to Santa Fe to train. So you're coming up on the last dog howl in order to make it. You can contact us at our recruiting page, and why don't you give them that info?
That is joinfarmingtonpd.net or .com or .org, whichever one you type
in. We own them all.
We own them all. And also you can call and talk to a recruiter at 599-1027. But also on our website, you can chat with a recruiter if you have questions. If if that's easier for you to do, then you can.
And they're pretty responsive.
They are. They're very responsive.
On top of that, we'll do testing around your schedule. Mm-hmm. So time was, you know, I didn't start quite when Dave did, but it wasn't far from it. December 90, the department told you where to show up, and you either showed up or you didn't get the job. Today we will come and meet you wherever you are around your schedule and get you through the process and on your way to being a police officer. So with that, we're nearing the end. I know
we
wanted to talk a little about Packer football.
I mean, if it makes you more comfortable, we can talk about Packer football, but I can't help you.
Well, that's disappointing. Anyway, folks, we'll continue to work on that. It's been a 2-year-long venture. At least she knows what the Packers are now, so we've made that much progress. And other than that, Dave Ripley, thank you for coming in, sir, and good luck with Well, good luck November 2nd. Good luck with the hiring.
Thank you so much.
And thanks for your contribution to the system here.
Thank you. My pleasure.
For all of you, we'll see you in 2 weeks. And Scott, go Bills.
Go Bills.
The newest.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.